Hey everybody, what's up? I want to thank you for tuning into a special episode here of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Really, it's nothing different. This is an episode that everybody on our Patreon is hearing this week. This is this week's DHT, Dickhead Tuesday, what we like to call it. Obviously very walk-on of us, very on-brand. Just decided that this was one that I wanted to put out to the public. Usually gets pretty colorful over there, so you might feel a little bit of a different vibe. It's me and Drake. You'll hear Drake for the first time in a while. If you are just a main show listener, and obviously we reference this show and the Discord and everything that goes on it on the Patreon side of things all the time over there. And sometimes I think it's good to take some of that content, give just a little taste to the general public. And this is literally twice a week. So you get our main show Monday, Thursday, free forever and always, where the guests are, the off season, the in season previews and recaps, all that sort of thing. But then we just have fun, and for those that are bought into the walk-ons, bought into a little bit more of our personal lives, our personal opinions as just content creators outside of the Iowa sphere. We don't talk a lot about Iowa stuff on this DHT podcast or the Drake and Gary Friday podcasts. This is where you find that stuff. So this is an example of one of the two episodes that are extra to Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Your subscription goes to benefiting the Children's Hospital, of which we never officially announced it last month, but $15,000 of donation money went towards the UI Children's Hospital in the month of December in 2023. Most of that, a lot of that is because of the Patreon, where we offer the subscription fee for extra content. Hopefully this gets a couple more people onto the Patreon, a couple more people on the mission to help us dedicate and raise money to the children each year. And we really think it's great content. Again, you get these extra episodes, you get your donation going to the hospital, you get early access, you get ad-free listening where you don't have to listen to or skip through any of the ads, discounts on our merchandise, and other fun stuff that we do over there. So enjoy this episode of Dickhead Tuesday. We'll get into the episode right now. Welcome in to the Washed Up Walk-Ons Dickhead Tuesday, DHT, our weekly Tuesday exclusive podcast for the Patreon listeners, the biggest, best fans we have here in the Walk-On Army, where Grant, Drake, and myself get off color, off schedule. We talk about random stuff, stuff that's entertaining, post thoughts, questions, have some fun. It's DHT. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Dickhead Tuesday, and I am fucking under the weather. So, Kluver, you better carry the shit out of this one.
You're sick?
No, I just mean this surgery's kicked my ass.
Oh, I was going to say those two things on top of each other would be tough.
No, I'm not really sick. I mean, I've been sick for a month, but I'm not really sick. But no, the surgery beat my ass, and I feel like shit, and it just hurts. And yeah, just been under the weather.
Okay, well, that was that's the big topic of today. I wanted an update, and I guess we got our update.
It fucking sucked. There's your update.
Thursday, you went in the morning, and you woke up from surgery when?
Thursday.
Not like how long did it take?
It was 2 hours.
2 hours, so you were home by the afternoon?
Dude, they kicked me out of there immediately.
Oh, yeah. You said they wheeled your ass out. They're like, we got to get this guy out of here.
They kicked me out immediately. I wasn't even awake.
How did they do that?
Don't know, because Arizona is so fucked. The healthcare in Arizona is so fucked.
Is it really bad?
Oh, it's horrible.
Is there a reason for that? Just because you're in the desert and no one gives a shit?
Probably.
It's all old people?
There's just too many people, and they just funnel you through as fast as possible.
That might make sense.
They're trying to make as much money with as least work as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other... How fucked is it that our medical system, like our healthcare system, their primary goal is financial?
It's about as fucked as it gets.
That's so shitty, dude.
Yeah.
Oh shit, where'd you go? You just cut out.
I should still be here.
There you go. You're good. You're good.
My computer is acting super fucked, and I don't know what the deal is, but
no, you're good now. That's so fucked up, man. Yeah. How are we gonna like live longer and healthy lives when the healthcare system only cares about dollars?
I think the answer is you're not.
You're not going to. Unless you take extreme initiative. Like, you have to be on top of your shit. So they wheel your ass out of there. And you're hardly awake. I imagine at that point you don't feel it yet, right?
No, that I had a nerve block. So I did feel it. When I woke up, it was bad.
And, immediately.
Yeah. And they're like, they're like, how's the pain? I'm like, it's bad. And they're like, yeah, we can tell your heart rate's 160.
You were 160 when you woke up?
Dude, it hurt. I'm telling you, I was not playing around. It hurt.
Were you sweating?
I don't think so. I don't remember. I just remember the pain. That's the only thing. For like two cycles of IV drug administration, I don't know what it was. They didn't say whether it was morphine, whether it was Dilaudid. I think it was Dilaudid, because after the second one, I heard them hit me with the Dilaudid, and I was like, dude, it hurts. They're like, it still hurts. I'm like, it hurts. I don't know what to tell you, dude. And they're like, should we get fentanyl? And they're like, and I knew if they gave me fentanyl, I was going to be there for 8 hours. Because the last time they gave me fentanyl, I was sick for like 8 hours. I was too fucked up to move. So, but they didn't. And then eventually, I think just the compilation of meds was enough, mixed with the fact that I was in and out of sleep, that they just stuffed me in the car and told me go home.
And Kaylee drove your ass home, and you've been laying on your ass for 4 days ever since?
No, I've been trying not to. I've been trying to be semi-active, but this thing is just, it's so painful. It just, every time it goes from up to down, it feels like it's in a garage vice, and it's just getting fucking cranked. It hurts. It hurts, dude.
Just the inflammation and the...
Yeah, because I don't have a 24/7 training staff helping me get this inflammation out.
Yeah.
It's just, I've got pitting edema from my fucking knee to the tips of my toes, and it's not going anywhere because nobody's helping me.
Fuck. Someone please come help me. You sent a picture to the...
That was a video.
Video to us. You sent a picture to the Discord.
No, I sent a video. I sent the video to the Discord.
Oh, I didn't see that. And your foot looks like... it looks like a pork loin. Like a uniform in size pork loin. Just all the way down to your toes. Are you in a boot, or are you on a little wheel?
I took the boot off. I'm just using an ace wrap because the boot was putting too much pressure. It hurt too much. When it was in the boot, I was like, my brain was vibrating.
And so I'm honestly surprised you haven't killed yourself yet.
I've been trying to do so with substances.
Oh, does that help at all?
It helps me sleep. Yesterday I had the plan. I had to go to the doctor at 9. That's when they took the wrap off, made sure there was no infection. Everything looks really good. Like, he did an artistic job on the stitches. Like,
Was this the Chinese guy?
Yeah. He's Vietnamese, I believe.
A shout out.
Or Korean, maybe, or something.
One of
them. But he did... It damn near looks like he used like a square to make sure every suture is. I'm talking if you put a marble on this line, it would not move. There is not a quiver in this line of sutra. He did a great job. It looks beautiful. Clean. The problem is there's enough damage there that it needed something like 50 stitches.
You have 50 stitches?
Something like that. Somewhere between 40. One side has 27, and I didn't count the other because it hurt when I looked at it.
They went in. Yeah, they would have. They went in.
Brother, they went in at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places.
Cut it off, dude. Cut it off. You're fucked.
Dude, you're fucked. My foot looks like a lunch lady's hands.
I thought you were going to say a lunch lady's pussy.
What? In what world was I ever going to say that?
I don't know, but that's what I thought was coming out of your mouth. Oh, fuck. Oh, my stomach hurts. I shouldn't be laughing so hard because it's really to the detriment of you. Oh, but I think everybody's... I think... Oh, this is the baby, right? This is
the baby. She's my baby. She doesn't leave dad's side.
Really?
Yeah. She'll, as soon as I wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter. Like, first of all, she sleeps on her back, sprawled out, tucked in next to me. So she's just all sprawled out. She feels me get up, and then she immediately gets up, and I go to poop, and she comes and she falls asleep at my feet. And then I get up to get a cup of coffee. She follows me in. I get my coffee. I go back to the shitter. She comes back, falls asleep at my feet. She doesn't leave my side very often.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
What does Bane and Mila think about that?
Bane and her, if Arrow is not with me, she's with Bane. And Bane's sometimes with me and Arrow anyways. Mila is kind of picks her times where she wants to play. And then they'll play with her. Otherwise, she's a pretty lazy by herself dog.
That's good. Do you sense that they sense something's up with your foot, and they like know that like you're fucking sad and in pain, or
like, I mean, they would have to. They see the crutches and everything, and they have to sense.
Yeah.
That there's an injury for sure.
They're so smart. Like when,
yeah.
Fuck. I wish I was out there with you right now. It's so fucking cold here, dude. It's so cold. It's -3 right now. And that's the warmest it's been in 3 days.
Really?
It was -20 the last two.
What?
It was
-20 ambient. Not
wind chill, real temp. The wind chills were down. I think we hit like -40s wind chill over the weekend.
That shut the whole state down type temperatures.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of
buses can't run.
Yeah.
Diesel is going to gel.
School's canceled in a lot of places today. Yeah. Roads are fine.
-20, the diesel can't, it's just going to gel.
It's thick.
It's pudding.
It's like my blood in 2018 thick. There was Jack's pizza running through my veins. Schools are shut down. Daycare's been shut down last week multiple times we were in the blizzard, and now the blizzard's passed, but now it's just so damn cold. So yeah, basically this entire week is just negative temps across the state of Iowa. It's fucking cold, man.
Just both down bad.
I mean, I'm in double sweatshirt, shivering, sweatpants. I went for a walk this morning because I told myself I'm getting 10,000 steps a day every day this year. And my fucking nose, like the snot and anything that was in my nose, like froze together. So by the time I was back to the house, I had to like defrost. It's fucking ridiculous.
I know that pain. I mean, I can vividly remember that pain.
I mean, the last couple of days have been freshman year walk to the complex levels of cold.
That's brutal. I still tell people about that down here. When they ask me about Iowa winters, I was like, let me explain what hell on earth is. I was like, I know what Siberia is like.
Yeah.
Because I know what being poor in Siberia is like.
Poor. And it's
because we walked and took – whatever form of frozen public transit we could, or rode on the back of gas-powered mules all over a city that was under a polar vortex.
That was a bad. That was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, it was bad.
I was so much tougher 10 years ago. Let me tell you how so much tougher I was. Yesterday, this is how soft I've gotten, and this is how I know that my career as an MMA fighter is going to go absolutely nowhere. I had to go to the doctor. So then after that, I went to jiu-jitsu practice, and I just hung out with the people at jiu-jitsu,
right,
whatever. And then I was like, you know what? I feel like going and playing poker. The last time I played before the surgery, I just took 3 coolers.
And I think that was the day you texted me and Grant.
Yeah. And I was just like, I confirmed I'm still an absolute cooler. I'm just a cold deck waiting to happen. Dude, I drive myself the 20 miles to the casino and sit in the parking lot. And I'm just like, dude, my ankle just hurts and I don't want to do this. And I just drove home.
Just quit on it.
And I then slept about 2 hours up until the Buffalo game, then slept the entire Buffalo game. Then made it through most of the night game before sleeping the entire night.
I mean, at least you've been getting a lot of sleep.
I had to, dude. I think now when I was sitting in my car, it was a legitimate, like, radiating pain to where it was probably a good idea to not then sit there and just let the blood pool in it for hours.
Facts.
But I think it was my leg telling me, like, dude, your whole body is about to just shut down. Yep. And it did. I slept for like 18 hours yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, wow, that's insane. 18 hours. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, you and I, like, you know, that's what the body does. Everything your body has.
16 hours?
But yeah. A lot. Everything your body has in it right now is being stimulated to
heal that one area.
Yeah.
Like, every ounce of energy in my body, every resource is being sent there.
All the red blood cells, every nutrient that you eat.
Dude, it looks like Wolverine fucked me.
Yeah, yeah. Your shin down is a war zone. It's Ukraine.
Dude, do you want to know how real, like, the mind body connection is?
It is wild. I know it's tight.
I was in significantly less pain the 5 minutes before I saw what it looked like. I had no idea what it looked like. In my mind, I had 2 incisions. One on the outside to take the plate out, which, by the way, let me describe that to you after this. But
yeah, we need the results of your
surgery. Okay, so
but go on, and we'll get there.
Okay, so I expected to have the long scar where they had to take the plate out, and I knew I was going to have a couple of like a bullet hole for the camera. So those were no problem, and then he told me that he fixed the posterior tib tendon. So I was like, okay, that's going to be another incision. But in my mind, I was like, he probably did that arthroscopically. So I don't think it's going to be that big. Or, when he took the bandages off and I laid eyes on how big those incisions were, and it just immediately, my eyes saw it. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
My eyes saw it and immediately 50% more pain.
Yeah, your mind just told you.
It freaked me the fuck out when I saw how bad it looked.
Immediately, you were just like, "Oh, I should be hurting a lot more." And then
it did.
Yeah, and then your body sent those pain. Yeah, dude, it's fucked. The mind body is a crazy thing.
Crazy thing.
And I try to, like, it's honestly part of the reason I love working out hard, like CrossFit style hard, is because I try to hack it. I think I can beat it. Like, I think I can, like, you've been on the air bike sprints, hard 5 minute rounds, whatever. I try to beat it where, like, in my mind, if I'm in the zone and you're just having a good day, you're like, I'm not hurting. I'm not tired. And, like, sometimes you can take yourself pretty goddamn far. It's how I got through Iowa conditioning, honestly, when I was too fat to really be doing what we were doing. But I just, like, there was no other choice. I had to finish the reps. So I just, that's how, honestly, I got mentally tough. But speaking of toughness, going back to how tough you were a decade ago compared to now, I'm also so, I mean, on the relative scale, I've never been, like, the tough, the tough guy, pretty tough guy, but not the tough guy. But now I'm the soft guy.
I'm soft too, dude. Don't worry.
I'm Michelin man soft. Ken Diesel did that a lot to me. Becoming a dad, especially of a little girl, that softens you up. Pretty.
And I have my baby girls too. I know they're right. Just dogs to some people, but to me, they're my baby girls.
And I think obviously, you get older, you're just like, I think part of it is you subconsciously, or maybe consciously for some people, you start to drop the tough guy persona, not so much like the physical toughness.
Oh, I got that beat out of me a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, I just.
Imagine if I acted like a dickhead tough guy at the gym that I'm at now.
There's just no reason. Yeah. There's no reason to. Like, it doesn't get you anything.
Exactly. It would just get me a worse lumping and no friends.
I think honestly, that was probably. Most of that left us like freshman year of college, like most of it. Would you agree?
I think I carried some of it all the way through.
I mean, you have a general disposition to be, you're just that kind of guy, but it's not like, it's not fake.
Mm-hmm. It left me a lot more at about 25.
Dude, you know how they say,
your brain fully develops at 25.
I felt it.
It's a real number.
It's a real number.
At some point, you just don't feel like acting the way you used to.
Dude, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad that somebody
And I got old in a hurry, too, because I dropped off. If you looked at 23-year-old me compared to 27-year-old me, you'd be like, damn, this kid dropped off in a hurry. He got old in a hurry.
This fucking guy is – this guy is washed. This guy is fucking cooked. And, you know, there's probably people out there who listen to our podcast or have this idea of us at still today at 29 years old where they're like, oh, those guys are just immature, whatever. It's like, okay, whatever you think of us now, man.
You'd have hated me when I was 22.
If you knew what we were when we were 22, holy shit. No,
at 18, you'd have had me at the what do they call the thing where you hang? You're going to the gallows. You'd have had the fucking gallows at 18.
I think, well, for me, I don't even think at Marshalltown, there might be some people I graduated with at Marshalltown that would counter this. But I don't feel like I was playing tough guy. I never felt like the tough guy.
I was.
I was an athlete. I was one of the athletes amongst a bunch of other, like, fucking Cheeto fingers, but
I was playing tough guy.
I had nowhere to play tough guy when I stepped into a dorm room with you and you were fucking shredded like day one of us starting in Hillcrest, and I'm like, okay, well, within my own dorm room, I'm clearly the fucking beta male here. And
was that a weird thing for you coming from Marshalltown and you were the guy for so long? And then it's not like I bullied you or anything. We were buddies. Like, we had a great time.
Yeah.
But coming from a small place like Marshalltown and you were that dude, and then you walked in the dorm room, you're like, oh, fuck.
Physically, yeah. Physically, I was – I don't think people get it. So I'm 5'10". But we've talked about how I developed – we're talking freshman year.
You were 5'10 at 12 years old.
No, not quite. I hit puberty, I don't know, a little earlier probably than average. And so And I started lifting weights in fifth grade. My dad had access to
what?
That. Yeah.
Dude, I didn't start lifting weights until I was 14.
Yeah, a lot. And that's, you know, eighth grade, ninth grade. That's when a lot of people do. So by the time we hit freshman year, and really in eighth grade too, and Gimble was a tall kid, and he was a little bit more developed, and I had his ass in the weight room because we were best buddies and we wanted to be the best at football. So like us too, we were kind of like physically dominant over most other high school athletes. Like my senior year football, I played at 227. I was fat, but I was strong too. And I moved well enough that I could run with most guys, right? I come into Iowa and Drake Kulik is my fucking roommate and he's shredded. Like a shredded like
203 though.
203.
No 207, not 227.
Well, no, you were just more muscular too, and you're taller than me, so it thins out more. Arrow is fucking gorgeous, by the way.
Isn't she so beautiful?
She is. Oh, she looks so soft.
Oh man, she is. She's feathery.
She is loving on daddy too.
Oh, dude, she's dad's girl, I'm telling you.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, so for anybody watching, you need to tune into the video version right now because Arrow's just loving on Drake. So you're shredded, right? But then compared to the rest of the team, like you were a bitch.
Yeah, compared to the big boys.
Like Christian Kirksey's walking around the complex.
Brandon Sheriff.
Sheriff. Van Sloten. Nolan McMillan. Hey, guess what? I'm a pussy.
Nolan McMillan, man, he was really a monster of a dude.
Monster.
He wasn't like, quite as good as the other two we mentioned,
but
he was a little, yeah, he was a monster though.
Played in the CFL for a long time.
Long time.
So I knew psychologically, like, hey, I'm not the linebacker anymore. Like, I know my, some people would argue I didn't know my place, but I did know my place on the team physically, but like it was very, very quickly evident. Like I'm the least conditioned. I have the smallest lifts in this weight room, except for the wide receivers and DBs who often would outdo me as well.
They out-squatted you.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of them outbench me, like Josh Jackson and like
he was a freak though. Let's put Josh in his own category.
Yeah, that's
he was as strong as I was in some places.
He's one of those guys who's built different. Yeah, so it was weird. Like there was nobody that really touched me lifting wise. Maybe a lift here or there in Marshalltown. I walk into the Iowa weight room and I'm not that guy, pal. You find out that there's those guys, big fish, small pond, and then you are an average fish in a big pond full of extremely fucking muscular and fast fishes. It was weird. Was it weird for you? I mean, you were.
It was weird for me to realize how bad I sucked at football. Physically, I still felt okay.
Yeah.
Like I was running fast.
Yeah.
I was jumping high. I was winning a lot of the competitions. Like as an athlete, I was like, see, I told you motherfuckers, I wasn't just some slow white kid.
Yeah.
I wasn't just some scrub white kid. But on the football field, I was getting shit on and I wasn't getting reps. And the reps I was getting bullied. And I was like, what is happening? Yeah. Like I could not beat a block from Ike Butker to save my life because I was way better going left than I was going right. And I was always going right when I had to try and beat his block.
Yeah.
And it was in blocks drill. So obviously everybody knows what's going on. I could not beat this guy. Like literally Ike's the reason I played fullback. Ike made me look, nobody in the 3 years that I played varsity linebacker at Muscatine blocked me, dude. I didn't get blocked once.
I got blocked one time legitimately in high school.
Oh, no, that's a lie. Ross Pierschbacher made me look horrible a couple times. Yeah. And Ross was the only dude who blocked me in my 3 years of high school. Ike blocked me every single time he tried the entire year, and then said, "Hey man, you should probably come over and play on our side of the ball."
Fill holes behind me so our running back can find gaps. No, same thing for me. And I fortunately did not have that positional realization because I switched position. Like there's no way to humble me at long snapper. It's like, unless I just was shitty or something. Like there was no other force that I had to go against. There was times where I'll never forget DP just absolutely leaving my ankles on the practice field in the freshman camp, like in return drill, right? But no one expects the freshman long snapper to do well in that. There's no expectation there.
Fastest hawk in history.
My God. 1.37 10 yard. I've never seen something.
Man, when he left the whole squad on that screen against Minnesota.
Oh,
he really got the opportunity to show off what he was working with.
That was him.
And he was playing at a different speed.
That was Damon Powell right there. I'm going to bring that play up because I want to watch it.
It was fun to watch him crank it up on that play.
Also, probably one of the
most underutilized.
And there was,
because in most places, dude, you get a guy like DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson wasn't a great route runner. DeSean Jackson was a world beater of a track star.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill for a lot of years was not a good route runner. He's just a world beater. I don't know why we didn't find more ways to just isolate that guy on deep.
Yeah, and I can't really speak to his knowledge of the playbook or if he was
– You could any how to go deep.
Yeah. What I was going to say was he's one of the most genuine, like he was himself all the time, 100%, never put up a front, never.
Fun, funny
guy. Mm-hmm. Like one of the most true to himself humans I've ever met, probably. For those watching or listening, if you want to watch this play, Iowa, Minnesota, this would have been what, 2013?
2013.
Yeah, 2013, we're up 10-0. We went did we beat their ass this year?
Beat their ass. And then they turned around and beat the brakes off us the next year.
We got number 15, Jake Rudock, in at quarterback. We throw a little screen to the short side here.
That's called the boundary.
Oh, why do I have it on 2x speed? It's because of how – yeah, we got to the boundary here. Simple little play. Kevonte out there blocking, couple linemen out in front, and he just absolutely takes off. And there's no slowing
that
down.
DB thought he had an angle too.
He thought
run
he
that
did.
Back a touch and look at the angle that DB at the top had. If he, you get that angle to the pylon, you win that. Dude, he's got 10 yards. Look at where DP's right foot is. It's on the 35, and this kid's left foot is on the 25 on the Big Ten logo with an angle. You'd never lose this. The hypotenuse of a triangle says you never lose.
You don't lose.
And DB says, DP says, watch this.
It's geometry, except for when it's DP.
Hold my beer.
He caught him by the 10, bro. And I know that guy's coming at an angle, but that is some fucking speed.
Speed.
I mean, he never even had a chance. He didn't get within 4 yards of him. Holy shit.
Yeah,
that was fun too. I remember that play. I remember that play because on 75-yard touchdowns, I'm not like I would normally get in like a rep on the sideline or two if we got close to the end zone, you know, red zone.
Not in that. You were on the bench, bro. You weren't playing.
No, I know, but I would be the one who catches Casey's reps. And there's no like that's just like a sudden change. That's the specialist sudden change right there. It's like, all right, well, just go take a rep. Yeah, that was DP was so fucking fun to watch. And he was my roommate for the first 2 days of camp that year. Me and DP was the first guy I ever roomed with. I had DP and Drake Kulik as my roommates.
Well, that's an interesting two dudes.
Yeah, especially back then. We should see if we can get DP on the pod.
I would enjoy it.
That would be really fun.
All right, dude, riff for like 1 minute. I'm going to go get the hardware so I can show you.
Oh, God, that's fun. Yeah. So what we're doing here is we got Drake's. We're going to finish up Drake's little surgery talk. It's going to be fun to look at this hardware and see. And he's going to give us a little lowdown on what we got. I've got a couple things for Drake. Random stuff, just links that I've put. Somebody went fucking AWOL with a skid loader in Nebraska this past weekend. That'll be fun. Couple other links here. Maybe talk a little football. Baker Mayfield and the fucking and T Daddy Wirfs just dismantled the Eagles last night.
Okay, so first of all, nobody makes football look easier than Tristan.
Well, the fact that Ike said what he said yesterday to us.
And then he went out and literally did that.
Yeah, and then he did it. So for context, it's like, I don't know, midway through the first quarter. And Ike says something like, when Tristan told me how easy he found the NFL to be, I like shit my pants or whatever. And I was like, he said that? Like, that's what he said. And
he also said that to me, though.
He just straight up said, like, it's crazy how easy the NFL is.
I think he said it surprised me how much easier it is than I expected.
That is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So what do you got there?
So here is the plate, and there's five screws and then the four buttons that came out of my leg.
And that's been in your leg for
7 years.
7 years.
There's three screws that are in my leg permanently because he would have had to break my fibula to take the screws out to then re-screw it back together. It's just never going to happen. So those are always going to be in there. Now, the plate itself, he said he had a whale of a time getting that plate off because it was grown over.
Bone.
So he said he had to pry it out, and he had quite a struggle to the point where the plate is all bent out of shape because he was bending it as he was pulling it out.
Those look, and I know that they have to be, those look incredibly clean. Like they're stainless steel, obviously, right?
Yeah. And then they sanitized them before or sterilized them. So he had to like rip the plate out of grown over bone.
It's not a small plate, by the way.
No, it's 10 screws, 10 holes.
Fuck.
And he said that the screws, I think he made the comment that whoever the surgeon was, he put those screws in there so that they weren't going anywhere.
Yeah. Which is good when you have it done, but not when you have to have it redone.
Fuck.
So did it go according to plan? Like, did he get done what he wanted to get done? And
yes and no, because he didn't know that the posterior tib tendon was going to be as damaged and kind of useless as it was. He said it was. There was only half of the tendon left, and that half was completely stretched out. He says it looked like it was going to snap at any moment. So
what?
Because he had to repair that, like that makes the surgery so much bigger and the recovery time so much longer.
So I pulled it up here on the screen. I think this is a good one. It's a good look at it right there. This is this orange highlighted piece is the posterior tibial tendon. It runs down the back of your tibia and connects into the mid part of your foot.
Yeah, looks like your talus or something like that.
And he said that thing was stretched and shredded.
Yeah, he said it was just not really viable as a tendon anymore.
And what does that do for us as a tendon?
That's a force-producing tendon.
Posterior tibial tendonitis, a common problem. Attached to the back of the shin bone, the posterior connects this muscle to the bones of the foot. Tendon is a thick cord of tissue. Attaches muscles to the bone. That seems like something that you would probably want.
I think it's the reason that I can't really toe off. I have no.
You can't press?
I have no lift off that left foot. Mm.
That's a toughie, man. It's a toughie. So he repaired that.
He replaced it.
He replaced it.
I have a cadaver tendon in my leg.
Huh. Okay. Well, hopefully that's better for you. I don't know.
We're going to find out.
What is the – where do we go from here? What is the – what it, are you just – is the plan now like once this heals, swelling goes down, function comes back, it's like hopefully it feels better and we can run with this for a while?
Hopefully.
That's the goal. And then later on is the two-parter, if needed, where they go in and they just Hiroshima you again, and then that would be in prep for a fake ankle. The ankle replacement.
If you do that surgery, you better write me a prescription for permanent opioid addiction, because just make that prescription endless. Cause I ain't stopping.
Get Drake a monthly sub to the Purdue Pharma.
I want OxyContin. I don't want none of this codone stepped on weak bullshit. I want, if you're gonna go to Hiroshima, give me the nukes.
Oh man. I really hope that everything works out. I hope that this feels good.
This hurt so bad that I'm very confident I don't ever want to have another ankle surgery. Because the next one, yeah, if they have to break my heel and repin it, chop my Achilles and saw lengthen it,
yeah,
and then, I mean, you can – the pain is going to be – forget about it. It's going to be unbearable, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. That's really tough. Fuck. Tough. Maybe this could help though. This week, I don't want to alarm anybody, but on the crumble lineup this week,
oopsies,
Kentucky Butter Cake is back. Now they put it in there with a shitty lineup, which is probably smart of them to do.
I'll just get the one cookie.
Oh yeah, I just get a
box. I'll bet the brownie sundae's fire.
You think that's good?
Oh come on, man! They're not gonna miss on that. Their brownie cookies are delicious.
You're probably right. Rich brownie cookie paired with fluffy vanilla mousse, gooey hot fudge. Well, the hot fudge really adds to that.
You just take the stick.
This one actually.
Oh, the graham cracker fudge sandwich is going to be delicious.
Yeah, this one was.
Dude, this is a good lineup.
Well, wedding cake and vanilla sugar are very, like, they're almost the same thing.
Well, sometimes I only get three cookies anyways, and I double up on one of them.
I would get six, and I would get three of the graham cracker fudge and three of the Kentucky butter cake. Actually, probably two and four.
You're not getting a brownie?
Probably not. I probably wouldn't get a brownie.
Dude, get 3, 2, and 1.
That might be. That's probably.
4 is egregious.
4 Kentucky. Well, you got to understand that, like, Lauren's eating some too.
Yeah, but getting 4 of the same flavor is egregious.
Well, Kentucky butter.
That's $15 worth of one flavor.
I'll spend $100 on that flavor. It's the best.
Half of the pleasure of crumble.
That's true.
Is since they're expensive, you get multiple days worth of different flavors.
Experiences. Yeah, you're right. You're right. The graham cracker fudge sandwich is a new one. It's a thick layer of fudge sandwiched between two honey graham cracker cookies drizzled with a smooth semi-sweet chocolate. Hard to miss there. I can't imagine they miss on that one. So that's exciting. Probably going to be picking that up this afternoon. Headed out to Costco today. Also, I have a performance PT who's been working on my back. And as a Christmas present, he gave me a one-time visit to this infrared sauna place here in Waukee. So I'm going and doing that this afternoon, 1:45. I have a 40-minute infrared sauna session scheduled. Pretty excited about that. Maybe that would some red light therapy, some sauna work would help your leg a little bit.
It would. I've been wondering what I'm gonna do for the therapy. I don't.
You have to do something.
Well, I know I do. I know I do. But I haven't been prescribed anything.
Right.
And so right now I'm just doing ankle pumps and toe movements.
Yeah.
And then trying to like massage some of the swelling out. But
at some point it's gonna. I would. Do you have a what did we used to call them? Those blue pads we used to use at Iowa.
An Arex.
Do you have an Arex?
No.
At some point when you get further down the line, just standing on an AirX, one-legged for like 15-second, 20-second reps, that would be big. But yeah, I mean, I don't have to tell you this, but I'd find like a performance like sports PT down there to.
Yeah. I'm thinking about asking Bader,
if he's who got he somebody.
Uses.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Let me just use his guy because I mean, I'm by myself down here. You know that.
Yeah.
That's why going and doing this was so fucking scary because yeah. It's like,
yeah,
I didn't want to do this, bro. I'm by myself.
I mean, you have Kaylee.
No, I mean, as far as like a network to.
Oh, yeah. This. Yeah. No, yeah. You're in a foreign place where you don't have connections set up like that.
It's the worst. I love it down here, but that's the only part that sucks. If you need help like that, it's like, fuck.
I want to share this video. So over the weekend, what you're about to watch here is in Lincoln, Nebraska, some guy hopped in a skid loader. I don't know if he's on drugs or what he's doing, but some guy hopped in a skid loader and started fucking up cars and like just causing havoc. And then the cops got called on him and he ended up at a Home Depot parking lot and he started coming after the cops within the skid loader. So I'm going to have to replay it. Maybe he does it here.
That can't happen.
People just film. Watch this. This is incredible. He whips it around and comes right after the cop car.
No.
Busts the back window out.
That you got to shoot that guy.
They pulled guns on him. You see that?
Yeah, you have to shoot that guy.
He's on bath salts or something. I don't know. It was crazy. And Lauren showed it to me, and I was like, that is unbelievable.
You have to imagine you're not going to get in trouble if you shoot that guy, right?
He's on something that's got him. I don't know what has his brain wired like that on that specific day. But if you're in a skid loader and you're ramming cop cars, something's wrong, buddy. Maybe that guy had ankle surgery.
Nah, he got something more than ankle surgery, bro. He got brain surgery.
They gave him the fent. You know, he'd be on his ass.
Yeah, he would be slumped out. He wouldn't be wrecking shit.
I think either you or Bo or somebody sent this one to the group chat a couple weeks ago. This is the Hulk. Brazilian football player Hulk that. Announces second child with his ex-wife's niece.
So you just let me know how you feel about that.
He married Camilla Angelo back in September of 2020, and he shares three kids with her aunt, Iran Angelo. The current couple welcomed their first child in April 2022, daughter Zaya Hulk, whose real name is Givanildo Vieira de Souza, confirmed on social media that the pair are expecting their second child. I mean, so he married somebody and had kids with her.
And then
went to her, I don't, it must have divorced her, but went to her sister's daughter and knocked her up.
Yes.
So let me just mentally place myself in that configuration. So that would be, okay, that's fucked. Yeah, that's fucked. That's really fucked.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing, dude?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Pretty DHT. Thought it was a good one for DHT. We can finish.
You just can't do it.
Can't do it. Right. Can't do it. The hopefully the caucuses were last night. The politics, I hope, are over until, or at least they slow down a little bit until later this year. Because I've been getting political ads, and probably not as much for you down there, but it's just been fucking Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek. It's like every day something is in my door. And last night the caucuses went down. I think I don't even know. I think Trump won the caucus, but I don't even know what winning a caucus means.
Yeah, like, me either.
what the fuck is a caucus? Like, why do we caucus? There's people at home just shaking their heads like, oh, this fucking guy claims he elevated himself at 25 as a human, doesn't know what a caucus is. What is a caucus?
Well, it's like the Republican, it's like the primaries, right? It's the way that you vote for your Republican candidate to get in to then to race.
Right. The Iowa caucuses. Well, Trump did win, whatever that means. But it doesn't mean he technically won anything. It just is like their way of unofficially saying like, okay, Trump's going to be the guy who goes up against Biden, basically.
I just don't understand how they can run that geriatric fuck again.
He's going to die, right?
I mean, you have to assume, right?
How old is he? He's 80, right?
He's too old to be doing the shit he's doing.
Well, that actually brings up a question. I saw some funny tweets this year. He's 81 years old. Definitely going to die. Definitely will not make it through the next presidency if he gets elected. We had some coaches retire recently. Saban, who we didn't get to talk about that with you, but I saw you posted about it. End of an era, legend, obviously. Saban's like 70. Belichick just stepped down. Carroll stepped away in Seattle. Some other coaches stepping down at 70 years old. And there were some tweets online like, wow, these guys have the wherewithal to just step down, call it quits, understand when it's their time. And we've got geriatrics running our country who just will not give up the grips of their positions. And it's like, what are we doing? Like what? How is there not an upper age limit? How do we do this?
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know how there's not an upper age limit for driving. I don't know how there's not an upper age limit for, doing a lot of things.
So many
things. Like there should be an upper age limit for taking yourself to the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah, that's facts.
Less running what was the biggest superpower this world has ever seen.
Probably should be an upper age limit on like being a surgeon and stuff like that as well.
Definitely.
Talking about your surgery and stuff. Like you can't.
Dude,
like,
I'll tell you what though. I knew that Vu Nguyen was going to do a good surgery.
Yeah.
I didn't find him. You know, I was sent to him by one of his colleagues, which is also a positive thing.
Yeah, good on her.
But I'll tell you what. He's got little hands.
Mm.
He's a slight framed Asian man with small hands.
Love that.
You knew he was going to do artwork.
Yeah, he put a masterpiece together.
And he threw down. He didn't have to show off quite so much and do so much goddamn work.
Yeah. MVP performance, really.
Really was, but it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the games this weekend? Like, what happened? Why were they all blowouts?
I was pretty surprised. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, Houston fucked Cleveland.
Couldn't believe that.
Is CJ Stroud elite?
He's elite. No, bro. He's like MVP candidate elite.
I've seen multiple people say that he's
the best rookie quarterback ever.
That he's in that conversation, but I've seen multiple people say that of all the quarterback play this year, he's in top four.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's MVP candidate,
right?
The MVP is just a quarterback award.
He is ball, and he's got some dogs down there. Like, Houston could be a problem for some people.
Who hung 45 on somebody?
That was Houston.
No, there's another 45 burger.
Didn't
Pittsburgh get blown out? No, they got beat yesterday by Buffalo.
Pretty bad by Buffalo yesterday, yes.
There was another 45 wall on Sunday.
The Lions played the Rams.
The Lions won. No, it was a last minute.
That was a good game.
That was the only close game.
That was a good game. Who was the other? Packers, dude.
The Packers
fucked the Cowboys.
Flatlined the Cowboys.
Out of nowhere.
And I was watching that with Jared, too, so that was fun. He was hyped.
He's a Packers fan.
Oh, diehard, dude. He's been a Packers fan his whole life.
Yo, Jordan Love.
Real deal.
might be.
And they're playing with a bunch of kids on offense. It's just Jordan Love, which
they have a college
team. He's basically an old rookie.
Yeah.
And then you've got Aaron Jones. He's the vet. And dude, they're playing the highest paid left tackle in football is on their payroll and hasn't played in three seasons. Like, imagine what that offense could be if they had $26 million worth of offensive talent.
They
could have a first team all pro receiver.
Yeah.
And they could have a Pro Bowl guard.
So my brother actually went to the Chiefs game too. And the Chiefs handled the Dolphins pretty good.
I couldn't really believe that. I mean, I could because of the weather.
It was cold.
I knew them boys from Miami were going to struggle with the weather, but it was worse than I expected.
Yeah, I like McDaniel and Tyreek. The Dolphins are a cool team.
I thought they were going to potentially do it this year.
Yeah, but now, I mean, so the Chiefs now have to go to Buffalo for the first time in the Mahomes era. And that's going to be fun. I don't know who's going to win this thing. It's the Niners.
Well, they obviously have the best chance because everybody else has a tough road.
Yeah.
The Niners get to do it at home against the 7 seed. And then obviously the NFC title is going to be against a good team.
It's exciting. Dude, how badly, because you're more, you're tighter than we are. Me and George are just former teammates. You guys are like actually boys. How bad do you want him to get a Super Bowl ring?
Unbelievably bad.
Yeah. I want it so bad for him.
Yeah.
Well, the way players' legacies are looked at and how people care about championships, not that like being a tight end is like a position where you can go win a championship for your team. They've got a lot of tools on that team.
How about them being the most historic offense of all time?
By yards?
No, first offense of all in the history of football to have a 4,000 yard passer and 4 1,000 yard scrimmage players.
Oh yeah. Cause George has been hashtagging the GK 1K.
And Brandon Ayuk, George, Debo, and McCaffrey all had 1,000.
They're deep.
And actually, they're even more historic than that because it's 4K, 2K, 1-1-1. It's not just 4-1-1-1-1. It's 4-2-1-1-1.
Because
McCaffrey's a 2K.
Yeah.
He's a 2K back.
It's almost impossible to stop him.
I mean, I say McCaffrey's the MVP of the league. And
feels like it.
The Niners have the most historic offense in football. I'm so hyped to go there this weekend, dude.
Yeah, you're going.
I will be in the box.
How's that travel going to be with your foot?
Oh, it's going to suck.
Yeah, it's going to be ass.
Guess what? Sometimes you just got to eat a bag of dicks to get something good out of the other end.
I agree. I got to
eat. So I'm going to eat a bunch of edibles. I'm going to get on the plane, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to buy more edibles in San Fran, and I'm just going to enjoy the game, dude.
Dude, that plane ride might be – it's a good thing it's a short plane ride.
It's a reasonably short plane ride.
Let's just say that because up in the air with sometimes like people with that didn't just have surgery have like issues with blood flow and like stuff But sitting in George's box is going to be absolutely out of this world to watch a playoff game. Like, that is so sick.
Yeah.
So happy for you there.
Thanks, dude.
I'll let you go. That's all we got for today. It's a pretty good DHT.
It was fun. Rest in peace to G-Bone.
We never even mentioned it, but Grant was out on this one
today.
I don't think he got in a car accident. Columbine might have happened again, which is wild, but. Actually, he had to call AAA because I think he flew back to Iowa yesterday, and when he got back, his car was dead. So he was having somebody come help him with that. He'll be back, I don't know, for Drake and Gary Friday for Thursday. He'll be there for tomorrow's episode. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Hey.